Welcome to the doghouse here on NTNRadio.com. I was a little low there.
Yeah, it is. Pump up the volume. Pump up the volume. I'll
pump up my volume anyways. Come in. Welcome to the show, Warren.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Ken. Oh, what was that you said? Ah, very interesting. Ken's mic's not working. Oh, maybe it is. He's just not here to use it. Jerk. A lot of weird stuff going on in the motorcycle industry this week.
Is there?
I don't know. There was some stuff.
Yeah. There some is. Stuff.
Why don't we get into the worst part of the news and then we'll go better from there.
Yeah. One of the giants of the motorcycle industry passed away this week. Arlen Ness almost single-handedly brought a lot of the custom world to the motorcycles. I mean, he did a lot of custom parts, made a lot of custom bikes, won a lot of awards.
Yeah, he definitely... A
lot of covers of magazines.
A lot of covers of magazines. I guess he brought a lot to the custom world. I think he brought a lot to I think what he did more than anything to me is he brought a lot of the custom world to the general public.
That's a good way to put it.
You know, like to me, I think that's, you know, he built these cool bikes, but he also had deals with companies so that he had, you know, for a while he had deals with Indians about painting the bikes.
Victory.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Customizing and tricking them out.
And he did stuff like that. And he just did a lot, I think, to bring the custom motorcycle world to the general public in the last couple decades.
Well, since the 70s.
Well, you know, but I mean, like I think during the 70s he was building his custom bikes, but I still think he was not as much of a figurehead in the public eye. He wasn't like a household name, even to like newer biker people.
Well, by the 90s, he definitely was.
By the 90s, he definitely was. And that's what I meant by a couple. Well, I guess that's 3 decades now, huh? Yeah.
And his son, Corey, and his grandson, Zach, you know, if you're in the motorcycle industry, you've heard of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've met all of them. I've interviewed them. I drank some beers with them after the New York City bike show. A whole bunch, big group of us went out, and I was close by where those guys were hanging out. You know, we were all kind of like on the same series of tables at the bar and stuff. So,
and you were in the back, you know, fixing up the dinner.
No. This one I had a life and did a lot of things. But you know, so they were all decent guys, cool guys.
That's one thing you do when you read the stories or you talk to people who know.
Early. I wouldn't say like I knew him really good.
He didn't come off as a jerk as some of these guys do.
Yeah, some guys in the industry come off like you. A-hole, right? Like you owe him something. He was just a cool guy that was into bikes, and he had a cool outlook, and he just always was that. The couple times I bumped into him at Bike Week once, you know, like I said, I spent a little bit more time with him over at the New York City bike show and going out to a bar. I'm trying to remember. I think Red Rock, was it? Red Rock Bar? Red Rock West, something like that. I don't remember the bar, but it was a cool time. Man, he wasn't young. I mean, he was old when I met him. You know, so
he was born in 1939 and he died in 2009. That's 79 years.
No, that's almost 80 years. 79. Because my aunt was born in 39 and she's 80.
Okay. So, wait, pardon.
But 79 years. So I mean like hey, that's a long life. It's sad. You know, icons passing, you know, it's just no fun. No fun.
No.
All right. Let's get into happier stuff.
Happy?
Okay, let's start with something I totally think I effed up on and didn't mention last week because we had so much other stuff going on.
Uh-oh.
And I don't remember. Maybe I did mention it and you guys be like, you talked about that last week. If you guys send me an email saying, you talked about that last week, send it to Ken because I don't want to read it. Moto America's streaming package is out and you have till like the end of this month to get it at a discounted rate.
Even if we did talk about it.
Even if we did, we're going to talk about it
again. Which I think we did. It deserves to be talked about again.
Yeah, we're going to just talk about it again. So it's like $49.95, I believe.
Until the end of the month.
$99, one of that.
$49.99 until the end of the month.
To the end of the month, and then the price jumps up like $400 million. No, it jumps up like $20, I think. But anyways, you know.
For you guys out there who have been like us, bellyaching because you couldn't watch the races because you didn't have Bean.
Yeah.
But then now's your time to step up.
Step up and show.
You need to do it two ways. Yep. You need to do it two ways. You need to DVR it off Fox Sports 2 and their show on NBCSC.
NBCSN. Sports Network.
Okay, Sports Network.
Yeah.
You need to DVR both of those because everyone who's listening to us in the United States probably has both those channels as part of your TV cable package. If you don't have the TV cable package, you need to subscribe to the streaming.
You probably ain't listening to this because you don't have the internet and you've been living under a rock your whole damn life. No.
Moto America Live Plus is what they call it.
Yeah.
So just search, go to your favorite search engine and go Moto America Live Plus.
Yeah.
Have your credit card out.
Yes.
And sign up.
And let's try and
show your support.
These guys are putting a lot on the line for this. And we've been complaining about that for 3 years. And, you know, we've said some rough things about them over the last 3 years for not doing this kind of stuff sooner. So don't make us look bad. Don't make us look bad. I don't really care. No, don't make us look bad, you jerks. No.
Now, if there's a remarks place when you sign up, if there's something kind of remarks or a note you can make in there, tell them the doghouse sent you.
Yeah. We're not getting anything from them.
No, but, well.
We probably won't even get credentials the way we have been the last couple of weeks. But anyways, so yeah, we got to so do that in case we didn't talk about that. And then I want to talk, before we get into Supercross, because we only got Supercross to talk about, I didn't see the flat track. I had a rough weekend. I didn't see the flat track. And, of course, because of their, I'm sure it's because of their deal with NBCSN, while they stream it live.
You can't watch anything.
You can't watch it online until like the semis are already posted and the heat race is already posted, but the finals aren't posted. So I think probably hold off. All I've done is I know the outcomes and I read, but I didn't watch the races yet. So maybe we'll hold off on talking about flat track, and that's just unfortunately the way it is. And people, that's why it's important to do this stuff for Moto America if you like that kind of racing, is because we don't want Moto America to be where Flat Track is right now, where, oh, they don't post the stuff for a week late because of the TV packages, right? They got to see that there's a value to both.
So are you going towards talking about the Harley-Davidson stuff?
I was going to talk about something, and I don't know if I mentioned this. I actually was talking with some family members over the weekend, and they said something, and I said something about Harley, and I said, you know, I said, Harley actually did something that I think is smart, and it's kind of getting like washed over. There's little like tidbits of it and stuff, and I think it's really smart. And the conversation more started out, we were talking electric cars, right?
Yeah.
One of my cousins had seen a picture. I spent some time with the family this week. One of my cousins had seen a picture I had taken of Ken's Tesla, you know, that I had posted and asked me about it and stuff. And I said, oh man, it's this. And then we started talking about electric cars and cars, and, you know, they thought it was funny. They're like, you drink dinosaur juice for breakfast kind of guy. I can't believe you're doing electric cars. I'm like, they still run on dinosaur juice just through a third party server.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, that's why I eat my bacon. That way I can say to people, I eat vegetables through a third party. Right? So anyways, we were talking and you know, and they said, you know, it's also the mindset of, you know, making that trip to Florida a couple more days and finding the time to stop to recharge. And I told them about an article I saw in Jalopnik about a guy having a, you know, witnessing a fight because there were so many people waiting for the fast tester. You know, the
fast charger.
Fast charger, thank you. So anyways, I said, you know, I said, and they said, you know, it's a mindset. And I said, you know, I said, that is true. I said, and I agree with that 100%. I said, the funny thing is, I said, I think Harley's doing the right thing on that. They're like, yeah, Harley electric motorcycle won't work. I said, it will if what they're doing works. I was like, I don't know if I think Harley's doing this intentional, because a lot of times I don't think they're too bright. But Harley has the electric scooters, like the under 50cc scooters.
They have it's just more than just that size scooter. They do have the smaller bikes like you're talking about, and because they bought the electric bicycle, or you can't really call them bicycles, electric bikes for kids company called Stay Cycles, which creates bicycles for 3 to 7 year olds. So if you got a kid 3 to 7, you probably are familiar with them if you look at electric bikes. Harley now owns them, and they're going to brand them Harley Davidson.
Yeah, and I think that's really smart.
And on top of that, so when your kids get even a little bit older than that, they have now are starting to produce, and you can see videos of it from the X Games, where they are building electric mountain bikes, or going to be producing electric mountain bikes.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Yeah, but that gets, once your kid gets past 7 and before he gets a license, now you can get him in there too.
Yeah, well, the thing I think is the biggest smart thing they're doing is these for these kids, right? Like, it's going to be hard to get people of our generation and older generations to make the switch to electric cars, and especially motorcycles. Electric cars is probably going to be an easier switch than
they
motorcycles.
They just don't have the range for anyone who rides seriously. Unless you live in a city and all you're doing is commuting in the city, you don't have the range. I cannot commute to work on an electric Harley or any other electric motorcycle today.
You live more than 120 miles from your job?
My job does not have a charger.
That's not their fault. You open up your window, throw an extension cord out. Right?
Windows don't open.
I got a drill. But, you know, so I'm not even getting into that argument. I don't even want to get into that discussion.
We've had that before.
We've had that before.
But anyway, I think you're right.
The smart thing is that if you're going to teach people to drive electric and to have electric and that's the way of the future.
And plugging them in every night.
Plugging them in every night and all that kind of stuff. You got to start teaching them young. Because somebody already driving is already like, why would I give that up for what I have now?
So now you can start branding them as a Harley gal.
Right.
I mean, at 3 years old.
You have grandkids. I could see you buying electric motorcycles. If they were probably,
these are
probably
a little pricey. They're a little pricey.
But, you know, you're going to have people who are going to say, I want to buy them a Harley just like Grandpa. And it's actually the people who would be the most resistant to going electric bikes, buying the electric bikes for the up-and-coming generation. Yeah. That to me is like really cool and interesting.
See, my grandson's,
I just have a hard time swallowing that I think Harley did that intentionally.
But it is because they have a path upwards.
Yeah, and that's smart because then by the time they go to ride,
because you got 3 to 7, and then you're getting my grandsons now would be in that age group that would probably want the electric mountain bikes.
Yeah.
Versus these smaller bikes. Now.
You know, there's a it's not the Harley ones, but there's some company out by where I live that lets you rent the electric mountain bikes. I actually want to go try that. Right. You know, I can bike, but
they'll
I can't
look,
do like
the
hills. They'll
look at you coming in the door and say, oh,
they'll give me the electric,
hell no.
The electric tricycle. But I think that's kind of cool. You know, with my lung issues and stuff, I can't do the hills. But maybe that would be, you know, not in the 400.
Well, you can see some videos of it. If you go online and look for X Game.
That's not the same as doing it myself.
Well. Try it out.
Yeah, but I just like the idea. I can't believe I like something Harley's doing. It's been so long since I've liked something Harley's done.
And Harley's going to half, I think, within 2 years, half their dealerships will have fast chargers.
Yeah.
And they want to have all the dealerships within 5 years have fast chargers. Whether they sell on the live wire, because not every dealership's going to sell live wires.
Yeah, and if you're going to drive around Harley-Davidson, that's a good way to have a network. Like, okay, hey, I'm traveling on my Harley,
I'm traveling on my Tesla, and why I am charging my Tesla at the
give
Harley
Ken
dealership.
Any idea. I hope they have a different plug, because Ken will be at the Harley. But yeah, I want to look at a bike, and he'll be going around and be like, "Sir, is that your car there?" No, I don't live anywhere close. I'm not going to take that bike. There was a dealership with a purple one. I'm going to drive there. You know, because I can see Ken mooching the free electricity and stuff. But I just generally like the idea of...
If you get somebody in there charging their Tesla and they come in and buy 2 t-shirts, you paid for all electricity already.
Yeah, right. If I have a t-shirt, you pay for the electricity already. They buy a pin, you paid for the, I think that if you go to push for electric bikes, you know, Harley in some ways, I know they'll always have a following, but you know, these millennials and Gen Zers are weird people. If you're one of them listening, sorry, you're weird. They seem to screw up traditions and good things for things they think are right because they've, I don't know. It's like the whole reason they've screwed up television and shopping and all that other stuff. Well, let's buy our clothes online so we don't try them on in a store because we don't want to leave our houses. And yeah, we pay more and they come and they don't fit and we have to send them back and do this all again. Instead of saying, let's go to friggin' Walmart and try them on.
And killing a lot of trees in doing so.
Right, because the stamp, the, you know, or just the
fuel to move them.
Yeah, they don't care. They claim it is.
We do care.
They claim it is, but it's actually really not. All right, let's get into Supercross. That was enough of that for now. We might go back to something else if something else comes across. Supercross. Definitely an interesting night to talk about. A couple big things and weird things happened. But let's talk. I guess let's start with the the 250s.
250. 250.
You know, Ferrandis has been second 4 times already coming into this race. He had a good showing. He was the only other. He had a good showing. He wasn't the only other, but he had a good showing in the West.
Well, Dukatis.
When they did the.
Dukatis. Dukatis. He had a good run for a little while. Dukatis.
Yeah.
But he threw it away. Yeah. Ended up coming back and finished third.
But Fernandez. He's been a solid front runner. I guess that's a good way of saying it. He's been a solid front runner, and you know, him getting his first win, he won, and him getting his first win, I think was big for him. I think that's a moment. I still think seeing Cirola, there was a couple times I thought seeing Cirola could have got him. I think seeing Cirola lost it, not when everybody says when he lost it, when he had that little bobble and then he missed the quad and stuff. I think it was a little earlier than that because he was pushing hard there because they went through some lap traffic and the first guy cut out in front of him. When he cut back to go, the second guy did. And I think
that is exactly what
that's when he lost.
That's a big point, but also it was that, and it was also the whoop section because Fernandez was quadding those whoops. And until the last lap, seeing Cirola wasn't.
Yeah, you know, but I think that was.
But the lap traffic had more of an impact.
That put him just far enough that he had to race a little beyond where he was. And I think that just, to me, that was what happened there. I would have loved to see those guys handlebar to handlebar for 5 laps. But it just didn't happen. I still think seeing Cirola is in a good position for the championship. I think the future is bright for Dylan Ferrandis. You know, we've talked about him for a couple years. We've all kind of been big on him. Dukatis, he had a good race for him. Mazeman and Blos had good races.
You know who in the 250s has been completely disappeared this year? Who we thought was going to actually have a good season?
Marchbanks?
Hampshire. How many times have we even mentioned his name this year?
Yeah, probably hardly any. I mean, he came in 6th, but that doesn't get you a mention on the doghouse. That's just the way that is. 6th is 5th loser, right?
I have to go look to see where he actually is in the standings because he hasn't. I don't think he's won a race this year.
No, he definitely hasn't. I don't think he's even had
a top 3. I don't think he's been on a podium. I'm trying to scroll down here because
you might be right. I don't know if he's been on a podium or not. By the way, I hate Supercross, this new website. Yeah, have I mentioned that?
No, you haven't. Why do you hate it?
Because it used to be really user friendly, and now it's not. It's like there's no point to that.
All right. If this is right, and I've got so many lists.
Hampshire is running 5th in points.
Yes. Okay. So that is right.
That is right. But you know, you're right. Hampshire has been a little bit of a disappointment. I think a couple guys and Dukatis. I mean, right now Dukatis is sitting there 9th in points, and you know, I was expecting more of him and Marchbanks. You know, there are guys sitting up there higher in points. Mazeman and Blos and McAdoo, who I wouldn't have put in my top group of people. They wouldn't have been my top 5.
Hampshire above both of those.
Yeah, and probably Dukatis, right? And maybe Marchbanks, because, you know, everybody was talking about him for a while. I don't see
him stepping up.
Yeah, like they want to be out of
Unfortunately, they seem to be also Rans this year.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. They did not seem to have the they don't seem to have it going. They ain't got it going on. So I still think seeing Sorolla is, to me, he's the odds on favorite guy to still win in my book.
I have to agree with you. I think Fernandez has an outside shot. If he wins out and seeing Sorolla screws up anything, he has a bad weekend, it is still possible. But it's going to take something extraordinary to happen to really have anyone other than seeing Sorolla win the West.
And they got, where are they going? Now they're going, next off, they're off to Houston, right?
Yes.
I believe so.
Yes, Houston, they are.
Houston Oilers. So they'll be at Houston next week. Wait, is that East? That's the East race, isn't it?
Who knows?
I don't know. I'll know when I get there.
And I don't know if we're going to even be able to see it or not.
Yeah, that's always the question.
You know, I'm still pissed that we're not going to get to see the final race in Vegas. It's going to be on delay.
Not going to be live. Yeah, that's enough to piss off the Pope. Let's get into 450s, and then we'll go into a rant a little bit about that, which is just crap anyways. In the 450s...
Where do you want to start?
Well, I want to start with... I guess we should start with Chad Reed's out for the season. A couple broken ribs and a couple other little things. So he's out for the season. The crash, it looked bad, but it didn't look like out for the season bad.
Well, have you ever had a broken ribs?
Yeah, I guess a second bike did land on him. So what's his name's bike did land on him? You know, and I've made the argument to Warren off the air that if, you know, once you hit 70, your bones become brittle. I'm sorry, he's injured and probably in a lot of pain. But, you know, but part of me, but in seriousness, though, that's why I wanted Chad Reed to retire like 10 years ago, right? Like, it's sad to see these guys getting hurt and being older because, A, when you're younger and you get hurt, that stuff usually heals up. The older you get, the harder it is for heals up. He's going to have problems with it.
I hate to tell you this. Even when you're young, you get your broken ribs.
I know.
I've never broke ribs. I've had them cracked pretty heavily and bruised.
Yeah. No, I know. Look, don't remind me of what my body's going to be like. Or it's already starting to be like.
So he's out the rest of the season. And Brayton, is it Brayton he ran into?
Yeah.
He got possible ligament damage. So I think he's supposed to find out today.
Yeah.
He's probably out for the rest. If it's tore like he thinks it is, he's going to be out the rest of the season.
Yeah. So it was not a... not a great race injury-wise, and I know people are going to send hate mail saying, you know, you can't joke about a guy's injury, and I wasn't. I was joking about his age.
The injury just happened to be fun.
Yeah, the injury just happened to be an example of his age. Justin Barcia had a crappy night.
He's had several of those recently.
Yeah, he started out with a bang, then he got that injury. I'm wondering if he's not completely healthy. You know, when you're racing Alex Ray and Austin Poletti and Chisholm and Gardner and LeMay, that means you're not doing so good. So I don't know if he's still trying to, if he came back early because, you know, hey, I'm a rider and I got to be out there and he's not 100% healthy. I don't know what that's about. Let's go to the top, though. The Musquin controversy. I guess it's not a controversy.
He owned it.
Yeah, you know, the flag, you know, they showed the flag coming out and you'd made a comment about.
Now, when I saw from the angle they show on TV and the angle you see on some of the videos on the web, the guy's flapping that flag so hard it was horizontal, not vertical. So I had to look at it twice before I figured out what flag he was even flying.
Yeah, well, I just knew. I saw the yellows in the crash, and then I saw a white, and I knew that had to be the red cross flag.
And Musquin said he owned it. He said, it, you know, he shouldn't have done it. He owned it. Yeah, so you can't blame him for
it. And it was – I probably had time for him to see it. I don't know how much of a checkup he probably could have had on that first set of doubles, but I think what got him in trouble is
when he kept on doing
when he just kept going.
Yeah.
Right? Like he doubled If he had doubled, rolled,
he might have
gotten a little pissed, and they might have said, probably was hard to see that because it was as he was starting that first double, just before he hit the double, where I first noticed the flag. So he doubled through that, and that gained him a lot of time, and he took off, and you couldn't catch him from there. Although Roczen did have a couple shots at him.
He closed down to within a second and a half a couple times.
Yeah, but, he was pretty much gone at that point.
Because he was hot. I mean, you got to admit it, Muskelin was hot that night. He was hitting everything just right.
Muskelin was on it. Muskelin was on it. And he took off. Roczen looked pretty good, but again, I think the biggest problem for Roczen is even if he got the Muskelin, I don't know if he would have passed him.
I don't think he would have.
I don't think he would have. I don't think he could have. Tomac and Webb had just horrible starts. They were back far. They had to work their way up. Tomac worked his way up, and Webb had to battle. I mean, I think they said at one time he was back as far as 20th. That doesn't sound right. 12th, maybe? Maybe they said 12th.
I think as he was back, but not that far.
You know, and so he fought his way back, and he just didn't have enough time. By the time he got past Savacci and Wilson and those guys, and Savacci, was it Savacci that dumped it? That was having a good run that dumped it, and then he got by?
Yeah, I think so.
It was him and Wilson got by.
Otherwise, he'd have finished in fifth.
You know, so they kind of raced their way from the back to get up there. All in all, it didn't end up a bad points night for Webb, even though he got his first, crappy finish in a while with the fourth. Muskelin, who should have gained a lot of points on him, got all those points taken away. Yeah.
He gains, if he hadn't made that error, he would have gained 7 points on the night.
Yeah.
But they penalized him 7 points.
But so they let him keep the win.
Yes, which, okay, I can't argue one way or the other.
What I would love to know is how they got to 7 points, right? And, Carmichael during the broadcast was like, yeah, they're going to, if he gets the win. And the controversy is he going to get the win? And my thing is, in some ways, Supercross wants Roczen to win. Because that's a great comeback story in sports,
yeah,
right?
Carmichael was saying something about dropping him two positions. Right?
Dropping him two positions, right? And that's always the, how did you get to the 7 points? Well, you don't gain anything on the leader, and the guys who finish between you and the leader now have gained on you, which is a fair penalty. You got to imagine Ken Roczen's probably pretty pissed. Because he went up there and said, when I was doing this and I would have suspended him so I can get a win.
I think you just started to hint about it a moment ago. I think NBC, and whether that extends to the Supercross crew or not, I think NBC wants the story of Roczen winning the championship.
They want him at least winning a race.
He's already done that.
Well, yeah, they want him to win the championship.
Because they even start talking about they start talking about it, and then I even almost started, or did they even do it? Put the little montage about him and his recovery.
Yeah, they do that a lot.
He's got a lot.
If he wasn't
got a lot
such
of coverage
a douchebag, it would be a great story.
He's got a lot of coverage this year.
If it wasn't such a douchebag, it'd be a great story. Right, I mean, the way his arms are in a sport where arms are so important, right? It'd be a great story. My problem is he's just a complete douchebag. He is just he's dumb. Like you listen to him talk, he's not very intelligent. He's not personable, and he does things that are just like he almost irritates you.
That's all it matters.
No, he irritates me because I'm smarter than the rest of you. No, he irritates me. But I can't imagine he doesn't irritate a lot of people. Talent aside, he's not a personable person. But they want the story of the horrific back-to-back season injuries, and this guy wins a race and wins a championship with his old T-Rex.
You know what, the thing I don't get, other than his big crash where he got off up in the air and fell and broke his arm, they never show him crashing into Cooper Webb intentionally.
Because he, right.
Intentionally.
Right.
And his arm jabbing right down in between the swing arm and the tire.
He was trying to, like, hook through to stop the tire from spinning. The screw. Right. Like, they don't show that because he intentionally hit Cooper Webb.
Yeah, they don't ever see that.
To me, I would love to see Cooper Webb win the championship season just for no other reason than Roczen. Then Roczen got hurt trying to take him out, and everybody wants it to be Roczen's year.
Well, but Roczen was taking him out because Cooper took him out.
Hashtag I'm on the web whacking. Well, you know, I mean, Cooper Webb was just, you know, it was a little rough pass. I don't know if it was a takeout. But
it was a takeout.
So Musquin's kind of gotten boned. I don't want to say boned. No, he deserved it.
He got what he deserved. He zoned it. He's accepted it. He hasn't made any excuses like some of the other racers would have.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. The guy was waving the flag too fast, whatever the reason.
If I was Musquin, I would have went and said, you know, I saw a guy on the side of the track waving the white flag, and I just thought he was a fellow Frenchman cheering me on. If he had said that, we'd all be like, yep, give him his points. That's good. But, you know, I mean, that is a dangerous situation, and it's important that they heed the flags, and I get that. So don't send me that crap. We're just trying to have a little fun with it. Tomac, you know, again, solid third, but I think his points chase is over because he has good races. He had bad races. He has, you know, he's pretty he's just pretty much out there. It's hard for him.
Can he catch him?
He's got 19 points to make up.
And five races left.
And five races, right?
There's a triple. The next race is, as you mentioned, is in Houston. That's a triple crown.
Yeah, so that is a West race then, because that's their triple crown race.
All right, so it's a triple crown, three races. If he won all three races.
It would all depend on where Webb finishes.
Yeah.
Right? It will all depend on where Webb finishes. If he wins all three races and Webb finishes second and third in three to five races, you know, it's all going to depend. The championship's Webb's to lose, right? He's got 14 points on Musquin.
With five races, that's not...
That's not insurmountable.
Well, I'm going to say that's not my race to lose.
Yeah, it is.
It's Marvin's races to win.
Two wins, and I'll say that it's pretty much locked in. If he wins 2 of 5, it's locked in. It'll be tight, right? Because I don't see Musquin running the table on the last five.
Yeah, but the way he's run the last two races, I can see him winning 3 of 5.
3 of 5.
Finishing on the podium the other two.
But if Cooper Webb wins 2 of them, 3 of 5 ain't enough.
But he has to. Right, if Cooper Webb wins 2 and podiums out, okay.
Yeah,
but if he misses the podium.
Well, yeah, but that's still his to lose. That's not they can beat him, right? Like, for somebody else to beat him, they're going to have to go 5 for 5. Tomac has the possibilities to do that, but being that many points back, you know, that's going to put a lot of pressure. And the way he is this year, unfortunately, Tomac is not a closer. He just doesn't ever seem to, you know, he doesn't, when that pressure's on that last race, he doesn't seem to step up. Musquin, Roczen's now what, 20?
I think it's coming down 19, to 20, Musquin and Webb.
23 points back. Roczen would have to win them all. Roczen can win them all and win it, but
I don't see him.
Winning. I don't see him. I don't see him. To me, Roczen's out, and to me, Tomac's probably out.
I don't see anyone winning all five races.
Right, and if Cooper Webb can win two, it's him. Right? That's why I say it's on him. He's got to win two of the next five and stay on the podium the other time, and he'll be all right. Because I don't think I see Tomac getting a win. I see Tomac having at least one, maybe two wins, and maybe Musquin's running really fast, but I could see Tomac being the spoiler to Musquin's championship. Not that I think he's doing it for Musquin. I don't think there's any love lost there, right? But, you know, there's no romance. There's no bromance there. But no. I could see him winning two because he's definitely got two wins in him. If he wins two, Webb wins one, Musquin wins two, Webb still wins out if he podiums the rest of the time. And there's always a chance that Roczen could pull a trick out, but I don't see it.
He would have to host. If Roczen host shot at every race.
And, you know, and we haven't even mentioned Baggett as a spoiler. And Baggett could be.
No, there's no way.
You know, he's, what's he got, two wins this year now? At least, right? Two? One? Two?
Hold on. Now I got to look.
You got to look that up. I thought he had two wins.
I got to look that up. I got it right here. See.
Doesn't
he has one.
One? Okay. I could still see him pulling one out.
Right? He's 62 points behind.
I didn't say he could win. He could
win
race. He could pull out. I didn't say that he could win the championship. What he could do is screw up the points enough that Musquin can't win.
Or could he could do the same thing to Webb.
Right. He could do the same thing to Webb. Right, he could be. He's fast enough to be a deciding factor. Yeah,
14 points is not enough for me to call either one of them. Unlike you, I don't see either one of them being locked in, or have a championship to lose yet. It's either one of them's championship to win.
I right now to me it's Webb's to lose, because he has to do less to win it. But he does have to do that, and he's on a couple race week. Couple of drought of non-wins and stuff like that. So we'll see. I hope he's not sitting there trying to points race. You know, that was kind of mentioned during the broadcast. I hope he's not sitting there trying to be like, all right, well, I got this much to give.
He is not Tony Dungy.
I
said Tony Dungy.
Ryan Dungy.
Ryan.
I go the wrong name.
Not either one of them.
He damn sure isn't. But, you know, but when Dungy points race, he usually had such a big lead that it was like, yeah, all right, I can just kind of do this. Yeah, I don't think he's in that kind of position, but that is the team, so maybe they're working on that. Honestly, I think the team would prefer Musquin winning the championship.
I don't think it matters.
I don't know if it overly matters, but I think that's what they were expecting.
Yeah.
So it should be
interesting. And he has more incentive than Webb to win. Yeah. It's his contract year. It's not Webb's contract year.
Yeah, that's true. And the other thing is it'd be interesting to see what the team orders are, right? Like what happens in that final race. What if somehow Tomac gets himself in it, and the only way you can beat him is to let Cooper Webb pass Musquin on the last lap of a race out, points him or something, right? Like, what if something bizarre like that happens? I'd be interesting to see what team orders are.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
That would be interesting. So, anyways, I guess we should probably wrap this rolling pile of whatever it is going down the road. I want to say something. Where'd you find the site of the two Costa Rican racers who punched each other in the head?
All right, folks. If great video, and if I remember, I'll post it up on our Doghouse Facebook page. But in Costa Rica, two racers who were running in the Costa Rican championship came together. The guy on the outside came in and bumped into the guy on the inside. The guy on the outside fell onto the guy on the inside's motorcycle. He's laying across the guy's bike. His bike shoots out from underneath of him. The guy slows down, lets the guy get off, and he punches him. And the guy who punches him in the head. Pissed the guy off. I just saved you from sliding down the racetrack, and you punched me in the head, so he gets off the bike and punches him in the head.
If I spoke Costa Rican, that'd be a great interview. That's all I have to say about that.
Both of them got DQ'd for 2 years.
Yeah, suspended for DQ'd and then suspended for 2 years. Yes. They probably deserved it, although maybe not, because who even knew there was a Costa Rican championship until that incident?
Costa Rica did.
But yeah, all right, four people. So anyways, we got MotoGP is going to be in Argentina. Don't cry in Argentina, I think. Alex Rins thinks he's going to be fast. Mark Marquez knows he's going to be fast. The Yamahas are hoping to be there. We'll see. And then we're going to be running up on them all coming to COTA. We'll talk probably flat track next week about Atlanta. Atlanta Bad Street. Atlanta GA. Enjoy your weekend. Hopefully the weather will be nice out there for you to ride. Sorry if you're out in the Midwest and all the roads are underwater.
Well, even here it's freaking cold.
It's cold, but we're not underwater cold.
We still got a lot of sand on the road, too.
We got a lot of sand on the road. And be careful. It's soon to be the season where idiots blow their grass clippings out into the road. F them and the horse they rode in on. We'll be back next week.